This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Pod!
Welcome, everybody, to a brand new edition of What the Puck. We're talking locked out hockey because they won't even give us pucks. So, of course, we're going to be talking about money and all that good stuff. But I want to talk to a guy that I always talk to, and he actually kicked his girlfriend out of the house so we can do this podcast tonight. What's up, Coach Dan?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. So how much are you in the doghouse for telling your girlfriend to get out?
I'm fine.
You're fine?
I don't know. We'll find out.
She's understanding. Wow. That's good for you, man.
got important matters to discuss.
Of course, of course. What else do we have to talk about right off the bat? But hey, still in a lockout. We've got October 25th really, really close to us as we're recording this, and that is the deadline that the NHL has given to have an 82-game season. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was a betting man, I'd say that the best thing hockey fans are going to have this year is a shortened season, and that the 82-game season is pretty much out the window.
Well, yeah, if they don't have a deal by tomorrow, the NHL is saying, well, then if you don't do this, then we're not going to have an 82-game season. And while a shortened season will still get some hockey, it's still bogus, it's still incredibly disappointing, and it's still an embarrassment. You know, and the NBA took some shots last year when they had a shortened season, but for the NHL to do this again 8 years later, I mean, yeah, at least they would have a season this time, but to have a shortened season is ridiculous.
It's really crazy that these guys will not talk. Last time that you and I talked on the podcast, we were talking about the hopes of talking about training camp this episode. But after we recorded this, the next day, the NHL and the Players Association met, and within an hour, the NHL walked out of the meeting and said no deal, because the Players Association made three deals of their own, and they're saying it wasn't built on the NHL deal. But a part of me kind of thinks that it was, given the fact that the NHL was saying 50-50 deal, and the NHL Players Association was saying, okay, 50-50 deal, but it's going to take us a little while to get there. We want it to be gradual. It seems like, as a layperson, just you know, on the outside looking in, it seems to me that the big deal right now is not the 50-50 deal. It seems like both sides are agreeing that's a fair share. It seems like the don't agree on when this starts. The players want their contracts honored that were signed before this new deal, but the NHL wants this 50-50 deal to hit right now, and that means the 57% drops to 50 immediately. The Players Association wants a gradual step down to 50. Does that make sense to you? Do I kind of have a grasp on this?
I have no idea. This whole thing is so confusing. With the money, I'll be honest, I don't really understand a lot of the money business, but I understand the fact that the NHL came out and tried to force the Players Association to agreeing to this deal by saying it has to be done by the 25th, or we're not going to be able to have a full 82-game season. It's going to be your guys' fault that we didn't get to do this. And the Players Association was like, okay, we still don't agree with your deal. And in theory, 50-50 is completely fair. And it is kind of bogus that the Players Association came out and was like, we still want our 57%. You know, yes, the fans go to see the players, but the owners are the ones who pay your contracts, and the owners are the ones who are paying for you and for the arenas and for the ice and the equipment and all that. I mean, the players don't pay for any of their equipment. When we go out and want to play hockey, we have to buy sticks and pads and helmets and cups, whatever else we need. You know, the players don't pay for anything. I mean, if you remember back when it was at 24/7, they were in DCF, they were at Kettler, and it was like new equipment day or something. And like all this brand new stuff that came out, and the players were like, ooh, I want this one, and I want this one. And I'm sitting there going, are you kidding me? I want some of this stuff. How come you know, they get all the free stuff. So I don't understand why 50-50 isn't fair. Now, yes, there may have been some fine print that didn't work out, and I believe there was something like the players were going to end up paying the players back in the end for some of the money they had lost. You'd have to talk to someone who knows more of the economic stuff than I do, because I don't. But it was completely bogus that I thought it was bogus that the players came out and were just like, yeah, we still want our 57%. And I was like, look, that's not going to work. The owners aren't going to be like, okay, sorry, you know what, we apologize. They're going to come out and say, okay, if you're not agreeing to meet in the middle, where are you willing to agree? You know, are the owners going to come out and say, okay, I guess we'll take less? They wanted more than 50% initially, and they drop their demand back. Okay, the players have to do the same.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you there. The players got to do the same. They just got to realize you're not getting the 57% back. As much as that sucks, given the fact that they had contracts that were honored at 57%, the NHL doesn't want it. And the NHL is the one that signs your contracts and signs your checks. So if they say that, they can kind of – it's either go here or go play in Europe, and that's it. I mean, you either accept this deal or leave is pretty much what they're saying. I don't like the fact that neither side is – talking it out. It's going, here is our what we're willing to offer you. One side says no, then the other side goes, all right, fine, I'm leaving. Like, they don't go, all right, so if you don't like this deal, how do we make it, you know, so we're both happy? They're not compromising. Neither side is compromising. That 50-50 deal made by the NHL was a PR move to make the Players Association look bad by saying, Here, look, we wanted to give you guys hockey back, but these guys are saying, no, you can't, because we want more money. And that's just, you know, the players are the bad guys here. It was a PR move, and that's what they wanted the whole time. They wanted good PR. That's why the whole Deadspin article came out at the time it did. And 2 days later, boom, we have a brand new deal on the table, 50-50. And a shortened season, everything was there. But the fact that the Players Association came back with three deals, the NHL didn't like that, because they were going to look like the bad guy again. And they don't want – and the biggest thing, it seems like, is this gradual I don't even know what to call it – this gradual percentage down to 50% from 57 over the course of, I think, 5 or 7 years. They want it to be instant. They want it to go to 50-50 today. And the Players Association doesn't want that. I think that's the big thing holding it up right now. And to the players' defense right now, they actually wanted to have a meeting to talk about some of the provisions of this deal, and the NHL said, no, we're not having a meeting today, on the eve of the day that they're going to cancel an 82-game season and say there's no way of doing that. So I don't know what either side is thinking right now, because it seems like both of them are playing hardball. It's who's going to blink first. Nobody wants to blink first, but even talking it's about something that has nothing to even do with this getting the deal done, they're still not talking about it. I don't know in the future, when this deal is actually done, how the two sides can coexist at all. It just boggles my mind. I don't know what else to say besides that.
The whole thing is, it's interesting, because one side will come out, the owners will come out, or Bill Daly, my friend, I hate that guy, and Bettman will come out and say, well, we wanted to meet, but they weren't willing to. And then the Player Association comes out and says, we're always willing to meet, but we can't seem to find a time that they're, you know, that they've accepted it. And we're like, well, what is going on? Like, somebody's not telling us the truth. How hard is it to, like you were saying, where they go out and say, well, here's our deal, and the guys say no, and they're like, okay, well, then we're going to leave. You know? Are you children? It's a back-and-forth negotiation, okay? You don't like their new deal? Now it's your turn to come up with a new one. Like, the players gave their last one. They had three deals that they proposed, what was it, last week or early this week, and the owners turned them down. Why aren't the owners giving a new one now? But instead of giving a new one, the owner said, look, that our last deal, that's the one that we want. And if you guys don't like it, then we're canceling the season. It's like, no, you have to give them a new thing. You know, fix it up, tweak it a little bit, give it back to them, see if they like it any better. Don't just sit there and pout and say, this is what we wanted. You know, it's ridiculous. Bettman came out today and he said he was asked what it would take for the two sides to start negotiating again. And his response was a reason to. And that bugged me. How, a reason to? How about an 82-game season? How about a 72-game season? How about a freaking season to begin with? How's that a reason to? Get back to the table. Get back to negotiation. Don't just sit there and say, well, we don't want to. We're not willing to if you're not going to do what we want. Okay? You have a responsibility to bring this game to the fans and to have a jobs for the people who work in the arenas. You have to get this done. This is ridiculous that we're still having the exact same problem.
It's the same problem we've had all summer. It's nothing new. I feel like that we've made no ground whatsoever since the summer, and it's really annoying that we still are talking about this. And the hopes for a season at all, personally, to me, it seems like it's going down the drain. I don't know if the owners are trying to play hardball until they, like, maybe they don't even want to start the season in November. Maybe they want to wait until the Winter Classic. I don't understand how, if you're an owner, you're going to let the Winter Classic go because you could, there's just so much money to be made there. And in big markets, I know the big thing is like all the owners don't have an equal say, but Detroit's a big market for hockey, and for it to have a week-long festival in Detroit and around Michigan to have the Winter Classic and then to have it just not happen, I mean, that's so much money just wasted, just gone. And they're okay with that. It makes no sense to me. I don't like it. I don't really want to. I love hockey, but it saddens me that the company that creates hockey and puts on these great games is acting like this, because it's embarrassing as a fan to have to deal with these two groups acting the way they are. And I don't know. I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired. I've been sick and tired for a long time now talking about money and what these guys are going to do with all of their millions and millions of dollars. I'm sick of it.
Yeah, I mean, if we're going to be talking about money, it'd be nice to be talking about cap hits and how much this guy makes and this is production matching how much he makes. I remember reading a couple of weeks ago, I can't remember exactly when, might have been sooner, that the city or the area around Detroit is going to lose somewhere in the realm of double-digit millions, in the high double-digit millions, if they miss out on the Winter Classic. So this lockout isn't just going to affect the players and the owners. This is going to affect a lot of people.
And Detroit's not the richest city, if you haven't been able to tell, especially with like the automotive industry going belly up a couple years ago. Detroit's still a city that is very much in decline and needs as much money as it can get.
Yeah, I mean, they're struggling just, you know, more than a lot of other areas, and this is a lot of money that can come in and help that city, and it doesn't appear that the owners care, or even, it doesn't care that anybody cares, because no one's talking about it, aside from the media and fans. So I don't understand how this hasn't been brought up, and it doesn't seem to matter. Right now, it's all about what the millionaires want and what the billionaires want. They don't care, or at least they're not willing to say that they care about anything else. I mean, to an extent, and this is such a smaller thing, but to an extent, Joel Ward came out, and I read this on Twitter, and this dude, someone needs to start checking his tweets before he posts them, because every time he posts, and look, I like Joel Ward, he's making too much money from the Caps for his production. He did score a great goal against the Bruins that got them into the next round, but he was complaining about, he was missing his iPad. He's in Toronto, and he's upset because his iPad was in DC, and I'm like, you schmuck. You have, not only is it probably his free iPad that Backstrom bought everybody on the team, was that last year or the year before?
I think it was the year before.
Whenever he got his new deal, he went out and bought everyone an iPad, which was very nice of Backstrom. A little ridiculous, but very nice. But anyways, he goes out and he's complaining about that. So you're complaining about your free gift that the millionaire can't fly down with his $3 million and change he makes from the Capitals per season, although not this season right now. That he gets to go down and pick up your free electronic device that you don't really need. You know, is this really what we're complaining about right now? About missing your iPad? I don't understand. Maybe he's just tuned out to the fact that like there are people in this world struggling for like food, and he's complaining about his iPad. But that just bugged me. But it seems like everyone's sort of disconnected from the players and the owners, and all they really care about is what's best for them. And it's all about the hockey related revenue. And I'm just those words alone are pissing me off now, because this is what's keeping them from playing. And I just don't understand how they're not constantly meeting. There doesn't appear to be any rush on either side to get this thing done. They don't seem to care. All they seem to care about is winning the PR battle by attacking the other side through the media. You know, the whole thing is just ridiculous.
It's really getting annoying. I don't want to talk about it anymore. And it's all it is. It's a PR battle. It's one side going, these guys are bullies. And it's the other side going, no, we're not. You are. You're the reason why there isn't a season. And then it's children on the playground just pushing each other. I mean, I don't know if you watched Saturday Night Live, but they had a skit about the debate. And as the guy who's playing Barack Obama, Mitt Romney's hand comes in and just kind of like smacks him in the face, or like takes his mic away, or like pushes him. And it's just his arm. It's really funny. And it's a funny clip, but that's what I feel like the NHL debate is. It's these two guys just kind of like looking. They won't talk to each other in the same room, but they'll go and bash each other on the media. And it's Bettman saying, listen, the owners don't want to do this, and there's nothing for us to talk about. And Donald Fair obviously thinks there is, if he tried to set up a meeting today, that there's something for those guys to talk about. Figure out if the players want a gradual a step down from 57 to 50%, and you just want it to go as fast as it can, why don't you guys, you know, I don't know, here's an idea. Instead of doing 5 years, do three. Or instead of 7 years, do five. You know, try to work with each other. I mean, I think that's what we all learned when we were in middle school, is how to work with other people. And it just it pisses me off that there's something that I enjoy, something that I want to spend my money on. These guys are denying it because they want more and more millions of dollars. And I'm stuck, you know, working 3-4 jobs and hopefully finding a ticket on StubHub that's a little bit cheaper than Ticketmaster, so I don't have to pay a service fee. But anyway.
Yeah, we can talk about when we actually have a season to talk about in games. We can deal with the whole Ticketmaster service fee and like transfer fee and we want more money fee. Ticketmaster is just like the NHL.
Yeah.
But the thing I find is going to be most interesting, and this is kind of off topic, but pretty much is on, is when we do have a season, and let's face facts, eventually the NHL is going to have a season. I don't think this is going to be the end of the league, as some people that want to take shots at the NHL in general are going to say. But when they do have the season, it's going to be awkward. Whoever wins the next Stanley Cup, Washington Capitals would be nice. Whoever does, when they have that moment where the Bettman gives the cup to the guy, like there's got to be a moment where the player's like, screw you, buddy. And Bettman's like, screw
you. Trip him. Yeah. Slap him in the face.
Because there's a quote from David Krejci that was put on Twitter by James Myrtle, who is a writer for the Globe and Mail and is an analyst on TSN. Mm-hmm. Here's a quote from David Krejci of the Bruins. He said, "It is unfortunate that the NHL has such a guy. It's a shame for the entire hockey in the world treats us like animals." Like, if you're Bettman, that's got to hurt a little bit. You know? I mean, clearly the guy's got thick skin because he comes out there with that idiot grin on his face whenever he comes out in front of the fans with the cup and to congratulate the losing team, which is stupid, which kind of, it's got to hurt. Like, thanks for telling us we lost. And then to give the cup to the winning team. He's always booed. Anytime this guy shows his face, he's booed. So he's got to have thick skin. But, like, this is what we're going to
do. Do you know how he has thick skin? Because he's a billionaire who's got plenty of money that he can, like, you know, put a couple $100 bills in his ear so he doesn't hear the booing. That's how he feels better about it.
Well, that's probably true. Well, that's all, it seems like all of them are doing. But then there's guys, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens. We are eventually going to have hockey. The odds of us having an 82-game season are less than slim to none, I think, right now. Unless they come out tomorrow and they're like, we figured it out, guys, which is not going to happen. But unless they came out tomorrow and they said, hey, we figured it out. We know how to make this thing work. We're going to have a season. I mean, I'd have to look at it. I don't know all the details, but I'm sure there's probably a way to have a full 82-game season even after, you know, if a deal was put together and ratified by tomorrow. But even if they have less of a season, you know, the players aren't going to be happy one way or another, and there's players that are threatening not to come back. I know Ilya Kovalchuk said that he might not come back if the players have their salary slashed. And then Ovechkin came out recently, and I don't know who he's talking to, but it was quoted on Twitter from Slava Malamud, who's the foreign correspondent for Sport Express, which is Russia's sports daily. Ovechkin came out and said, if contracts get slashed, most players won't return. And apparently Ovechkin says there are legal ways to stay in the KHL. Do I think he's going to stay in the KHL? No. But these threats are interesting that they would keep now he said it twice. It's not the first time. This is the second time Ovechkin's come out and made a comment about the salaries getting slashed and how this thing isn't working. So it's interesting to see how fed up they're getting. And it'd be nice to see them come out and actually saying things like, this is what we want. Not just, we're mad at Bettman and company.
Yeah. They may stay in the KHL. Those guys, Russian guys always say that, but Ovi is a guy who likes competition, and like it or not, the NHL is going to be the place to have that competition. Even though he does have his boy Backstrom now in Dynamo with him, Backstrom joined him after we talked last week, and Backstrom's already played in one of the games, and those guys, I mean, it sounds like they kind of just caught their rhythm again, because, you know, Backstrom got an assist on an Ovi goal, and they were up against,
like, 15 minutes in or so to the first game he assisted on his goal.
Yeah, and they were up against Varley, who was goaltending for Lokomotiv. So, you know, there's a lot of backstory there, Backstrom backstory. You know, Backstrom's wearing number 99. He kind of ticked off a bunch of people since that is Wayne Gretzky's number. But he's saying he didn't even pick it, and that he's
not in Russia.
Be...
It's not.
I know, but a lot of people are saying you can't do that. That's Gretzky's number. But a lot of people are saying, you know what? Well, you know, you shouldn't be wearing that. And he goes, I didn't want to wear it. I'm wearing it because that's what they gave me. I want something in the 60s. So he might be getting a different number. But hey, you know what? Hold on. Let's talk about hockey that actually is going on in America. And let's
wait a minute. We have hockey here?
Yeah, you know.
No way.
If you want to enjoy some good hockey, you got to go up 83 about 2 hours, and you can go in a little place called Hershey and Reading, PA. And I know that they had a couple home games recently. So how are the Bears and the Royals doing?
Well, the starts of their season aren't too good. Right now, Hershey is, 1-2-1. They won their first game last week. Danny Saubrin was it looks like Holpe's been injured, actually. So Danny Saubrin's been playing, and they called up Philip Grubauer. And Saubrin won the first game, and then Grubauer actually apparently was fantastic in his AHL debut. But they lost 2-1 in overtime to Binghamton. And actually, the game before that, I don't know what happened, but Hershey lost to the Rochester Americans 8-7. It's like a terrible NFL game. That's not, even at the minor league level, how does it go 8-7? I mean, that's ridiculous.
It was the
it's like a freaking all-star game.
It was the highest scoring game in the AHL this season, and of course the Bears were the second highest, of course.
Beat them. I was watching it on Twitter, and I keep like getting the updates. I'm like, okay, cool, they're winning. Their team scored, and like a second later, okay, they scored again. Okay, what the hell's going on? Is anybody playing defense in this game? Is there a goalie, or is it like a cardboard cutout of a person? Like, I don't understand what's going on. So Hershey's struggling a little bit out of the gate, but it'll be interesting to see. Got to keep updating and see how Holpe's doing. I think he's back at practice. But apparently Grubauer looked great in his AHL debut, so that'll be something to sort of keep an eye on.
Apparently it was his way of saying, please don't make me go back to Reading. Please let me stay here.
Yeah, apparently he looked good, and this is where he should be playing. He should be playing in Hershey because Holpe should be in D.C. But speaking of Reading, they won their first game over the weekend, defeating the Pittsburgh Penguins ECHL affiliate. It's also the affiliate of the Montreal Canadiens, the Wheeling Nailers, 3-0. So they shut them out. They're now 1-3 to start their season, but it's early. You know, both teams have played 4 games, so it's not the end of the world that they've lost these few. You know, we'll see how they do. But yeah, if anybody wants to see actual hockey in the United States. With, you know, I mean, it's not the best hockey in the world because these are the minor leagues, but still pretty good. You should go check out a game.
You know, let's go back up to the NHL and this whole lockout situation. Even though there is a lockout, there is a lot of news happening, including the New York Islanders making a big move.
Yeah, a lot of people were coming out over the past couple of years not knowing what was going to happen with their deal at Nassau Coliseum. I know their owner, I believe his name is Charles Wang, he wanted a new arena. On Long Island, and it didn't look like things were going to work out. And then today they came out and announced that the Islanders are moving to Brooklyn and that they're going to play in the Barclays Center, which is where the Nets actually moved to. They're now the Brooklyn Nets. And they said that they came out and they said they're not going to change the name. They're still going to be the New York Islanders, even though Brooklyn Islanders does kind of sound – that's kind of a nice ring to it. But anyways, let's stick with the New York Islanders. You know, this is going to start, I believe, in the 2014-2015 season, provided the lockout's ended by then.
You never know.
But if it does, they'll be starting to play out. So they're going to finish their lease at Nassau Coliseum, and then in 2014, what, I guess it'll be October 2014, they'll start playing in Brooklyn. So that'll be kind of cool. A big arena. The thing is, what I read today is that the arena is actually smaller than the MTS Center up in Winnipeg, which is the smallest arena in the NHL. I believe it's something like 15,000 fans, or less than that, actually. I think the Barclays Center will hold for hockey.
Right, but they said that like the Islander crowds are usually kind of that size, so it might be kind of perfect for them.
Well, I mean, part of that could be because the Nassau Coliseum Arena apparently isn't very good anymore, and the fact that the Islanders have sucked for quite a while probably does not help their ticket sales. So, but you never know. I mean, it could be in the end where... Apparently the NHL must have approved it because the deal's been signed. It's all, you know, gone through. But it'll be interesting to see. Everybody's like, oh, look, we're selling all these games. Yes, because you have 3,000 less seats. It's a lot easier to sell out games. But yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be cool to see. It'll be interesting if they change their jerseys or anything. I know when the Nets moved from New Jersey to Brooklyn, they made their change. But that's kind of a bigger move. Apparently the move that the Islanders are making is like an hour difference. Right. That's really not, and that's in New York traffic. I'm sure if there's no traffic, it's like 8 seconds.
Right, yeah, it's like 2 miles.
You know, but it's New York.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a long drive. We know in the D.C. area about these short drives.
Metro.
And then we have other little hockey news going on in Columbus, of all places, that John Davidson, he was the former president of hockey operations in St. Louis with the Blues. He is now the president of hockey operations with the Columbus Blue Jackets. And he's a guy that everyone is crediting as turning around the Blues. If you remember a couple of years ago, that team sucked.
Yeah.
I mean, they were terrible. Now they have TJ Oshie and David Perron when he's not injured and David Backes. I mean, this is a very talented team, a Blues team that's going to be good for quite a long time. And Davidson is the guy that everyone's giving credit to as saying he turned them around. So it would not surprise me if, you know, 3, 4, 5 years from now, the Columbus Blue Jackets are a very good team. Or, you know, a good team, which would be a step up. Or even a decent team, which would be a step up for those guys. So it's something to keep your eye on. It'd be nice for them to see. So yeah, Columbus has made a couple of moves. The Brooklyn Islanders have made a couple of moves. But yeah, that's pretty much all we got going on in the NHL, because nothing else is allowed to happen.
Nothing's allowed to happen. You know, everything's locked out. We can't talk about how much fun it is and how Ovi scored a goal, you know, on his knees or anything like that.
Or
like,
broke,
you know,
the glass with his head. Did you see that video?
I saw that video in the KHL, yeah.
Dude's like just trying to injure himself. Although we actually skipped over this, and I meant to bring this up earlier. And I thought it was interesting going on with the lockout stuff. And I know you don't want to talk about it anymore, but I think we should bring this up. Now, the NHL gave the owners and the GMs a 48-hour window to talk to their players. But they didn't tell the Players Association they were doing that.
Sneaky.
How is that not sketchy?
Yeah, it's very sneaky.
It's just that I saw that and I was like, really? Like, this has gone down to like playground fighting, where everyone's just like just so sketchy.
It's like the GM is passing notes to the players, going, "Do you do you like me? Check yes or no," and then passing the note back.
It's so like they came out with this new deal at the 50-50 split, and then they're allowing the owners and the GMs to call the players to tell them about it, and they're like, hey, you should accept this deal. I mean, I don't know if they're saying this, but it sounds like they're saying, you should accept this deal. Don't listen to DeFair and other fair. You know, accept the deal. It's just, it's ridiculous. I don't, it's that kind of sketchy stuff that you're like, when the deal came out, everyone's like, okay, the owners are actually kind of, maybe they're doing the right thing here. And then you hear about this stuff, and you're like, oh, you morons.
Yeah,
like you just ruined any good PR that you got. All that good, halfway decent PR you just got, you just kicked it out the window.
It was really fun, I got to say, last week when that deal came out, and then the Players Association came out with their own deal and gave it to the owners. How quickly fans turned on the players. If you went onto like Tumblr or Twitter or anything like that, blaming the fan or blaming the players for not getting an 82 game season in. And I'm like, this is exactly what the NHL wanted. This is the PR that they wanted, to get all the blame off of them and onto the players. So now they look like the bad guy. It was all a PR move. And I don't know like what these calls were about. I don't know if it was just like, hey, how you doing? Just wanted to check in. Make sure you guys were okay. I was worried.
Well, remember, it's like what they said. It's not what you say. It's what they hear.
Right. Oh, this. I just feel slimy. Yeah. I just feel so slimy now. So yeah. Did we pretty much cover everything we can in this hockeyless world?
Yeah, that's pretty much it going on right now. A little minor, not minor league, prospect news. Philip Forsberg, who this kid, they have him doing that new dance that's going around.
The Gangnam Style.
Yeah, he was doing some dance, like that thing in the locker room, which is pretty funny to watch. But he and fellow draft pick, I hope I say his name right, Christian Jus, these are both Swedish players. They've been named to Sweden's U20 team for the Four Nations tournament that's going to be in November, so congrats to them. That's pretty awesome. Apparently, this I don't know if I'm saying his name right, this Jus kid, he might be pretty good. That's a name that you should, if you can even figure out how to say it correctly, anybody out there, is DJOOS. Wait to see that on a Caps jersey. That would be pretty interesting. But yeah, apparently this kid's pretty, I think he's a bit of a goal scorer, maybe a puck mover. This could be an interesting guy to keep your eye out for, maybe see in Redding or Hershey in a couple of years. But apparently he's doing pretty well over in Sweden, as is Forsberg. Forsberg, I think, is lighting it up. And Kuznetsov came out and made a comment saying, I was like, this is not a good job. He made a comment saying that when the NHLers leave, the arenas will be empty. I was like, that's great. The KHL must love that you said that. You idiot. Like, you're already like got threatened that if you leave the KHL, they're not going to let you play in the Olympics. And now coming out basically talking smack about them. Like, dude, just shut up and play hockey.
He's pretty much like, well, I already burned my bridge. Might as well just keep going.
Yeah, he's such a... Oh, what a doofus. But yeah, that's pretty much all that's going on right now, unfortunately. I'd love to be talking about the game that they may have had tonight or yesterday or tomorrow or Friday and to talk about the players and what they're doing. But no, we're not allowed to do that right now.
All right. Well, you know, of course, if any news breaks or anything like that and you want to know what we're saying, of course, you can follow me on Twitter at BrandoCash. I feel like my Twitter has just turned into, like, me venting and actually tagging the Players Association and the owners in my tweets constantly over and over again. I just hope it's like, you know, a really annoying wife just badgering their husbands to, you know, go to get the groceries or something. And I'm just telling these guys, get the deal done. Just do it. But whatever. You can follow me at BrandoCash. Of course, Coach Dan, you're on Twitter too. Where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me at WTP Coach Dan. And you can always follow the show on Facebook. We have a Facebook page. It's at facebook.com/WTP podcast. But, you know, there is a bit of a connection between hockey fans and wrestling. So, Brandon, what about all your other shows, wrestling show and some other ones?
I really wish you didn't bring that up.
Are we cutting that part out?
No, I want to keep this all in. Well, if you go to facebook.com/BrandoCash, you'll find out about What the Puck and all the other podcasts I have on the network, including Work Shoot, which may have had its last episode last week.
Oh, no. Oh, I feel like a jerk.
No, I'm looking for a new co-host. So if you're a wrestling fan out there, Adam Vingan, always, you know, tweet to me and maybe we can get a show going as well. Or Dan, if you want to start watching wrestling, it's up to you. We can do two shows a week. That's fine. but yeah,
good. Another show. It's got to be Walking Dead.
I know. I would love to do a Walking Dead podcast. I think that'd be so much fun. Such a great show. All right. So yeah, go to facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like us there. Find out about this show and all the other shows on the app BrandoCash Network. Best way to reach us. And of course on Twitter and, go to Tumblr. I think it's brandocash.tumblr.com, and I'll post all the episodes there. Thank you for everybody that's on Tumblr and is reblogging the show. If you're listening to this through iTunes, thank you. If you're not, go to iTunes, click subscribe. That way you get every brand new episode of What the Puck downloaded straight into your iTunes or on the podcast app on the iPhone. And rate and review the show, which will really help us out and kind of climb the ranks of the iTunes library, because there's so many podcasts out there, and we just want to keep going and talking more. So definitely subscribe, rate, review, do everything you can on iTunes to get us out there. So thank you so much for listening. Hopefully next week we'll be talking about something besides money and and the people that won't talk to each other, and hopefully we'll be talking about something fun. Like the fact that training camp could be in a couple weeks, or maybe, you know, the fact that the Winter Classic isn't canceled, something like that. Just some glimmer of hope is all we're asking, because it's dark days right now in the hockey world. But Coach Dan, thanks for talking to me so much. We'll talk next week.
Yeah, I'll talk to you next week, and to everyone out there, enjoy the lockout.
This has been a production of the @BrandoCash Network.